Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Thursday morning. I don't have that cute little ride up 985, 85, 985, Flowery Branch, driving by the old Suwannee area. Said I used to be there. Bye-bye. Keep going. It's been many, many years. How many years now in Flowery Branch as opposed to Suwannee?
I want to say 2003 was the move.
Okay, almost 20 years.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
In keeping with the rotation of high-level talent sitting beside me, Mike Johnson, nice enough to hang out with me for an hour or more, who knows, and appreciate that. Sandra dealing with some personal stuff with thoughts and prayers with her, as her mom has had a rough time of it. So Drew will be back tomorrow. Listen to the morning shift. When you get off the air,
okay,
you have that walk down the tunnel.
All right.
The tunnel being you. Exit the building. We're headed to the elevators.
Well, as I pass you and go, what's up, Steak?
Yeah. What's up, dog? We do the dude thing. We give the fist bump.
Yeah, exactly.
What's up, dog? Hey, dog. Do you say good show, bad show, frustrating show, could have been better done? Do you critique your game like you do?
For sure.
You do?
For sure.
And if you felt like, not just because of you, but maybe the vibe wasn't right that morning or something over the years, is that something that stays with you at all?
Vibe's been high here recently. No, yeah, it definitely does. I think more times than not right now, you know, let's look at the last, I don't know, let's call it 3 months.
Yeah.
I've gotten off there, and I've looked at my co-host, and I've said, you know what? I don't know if anybody enjoyed that, but I had fun.
Right.
And that's what I think is most important in a morning show. We're going to be informative, but we're going to have fun.
I could not agree more. I've told many people. I've been lucky enough to hire. If you guys in that little, you know, box you're in there with a glass in front of you, if you guys are getting along, laughing, having fun, as long as you're fairly intelligent, have a decent sense of humor, know a little bit about sports, right? My margin here is not that big. Know a little bit about sports, kind of be funny, and know how to formulate a sentence. If the three of you guys are having a great time, normally that will translate.
Exactly.
Because it's really just about someone driving and saying, is this, do I have any reason to flip to somewhere else? I always look at radio, and you can see me if you've ever been in here. And we don't do a ton of interviews because a lot, it's like, I don't care how much knowledge you have. I don't care what kind of writer you are, what kind of journalist. I always picture, especially when a guy goes way long on an answer.
Yeah.
With no emotion, no opinion, whatever. And I'm just like, my ADHD, I'm thinking, oh, the guy in the car right now, I'm losing that guy. And then I may cut someone off, and then they're like, you're being rude.
I know. Do you know how much I have learned? And I'm not trying to go. You know how much I've learned from you doing interviews? I actually dropped one of your interview nuggets today, doing an interview just about 20 minutes ago. I dropped a Steak Shapiro. And we had Mike Jones on from The Athletic. And I said, Mike, tell Johnny from Alpharetta as he's driving in what he should be looking for in the preseason games. And that is I think you said that Darren Revelle yesterday. Pretty sure you
explain why the guy in his car should even care.
Exactly.
At all.
And that is I've learned that from you. Well, it's good stuff.
I always try to imagine, just because it's if it's of interest to us and we're in the demo, right? You hope it'd be interest to others, but it explain why we should care. Or sometimes, this is not easy with Coach Snyder, and I like Coach a lot. Tell the guy in his car, not the guy that you can watch film with that, your seven assistant coaches, but what was going on last night that we understand made us better or worse.
Yes. And honestly, Sagan, we've talked about this before off air, but one of the best compliments I ever get, and this is not shocking anybody, I was not an all-pro NFL football player, but you have to be able to communicate those things. And there are some players that play that know the game at a very high level that can never communicate them to Sally, who's in the BMW out on 400.
Yeah, and you also, to your credit, understand radio. You're trying to have fun. I think you undersell the fact you were captain of a national championship team. You played in the NFL, all those things. I don't have that. I asked Drew Butler about making the Steelers, and I had a buddy go, that was the best radio ever. And I was like, are you mocking us?
Yeah.
He's like, no, dude, I never heard the story. When Drew got there, who was in front of him, why he wasn't drafted that night, what were those weeks like, how nervous was he his first punt preseason? I know, listen, at heart, I'm still the kid that looks up at professional athletes and is like, that's wild. So anytime you guys can communicate, and for Drew, it's like, okay, you're an All-American punter.
And good.
We didn't know, you thought you'd be drafted. You show up in Mike Tomlin, and then the guy in front of you gets injured, which, Brian Finnerty used to tell the story all the time about the Falcons. He's like, I'm a white, undrafted Villanova wide receiver in the NFL. Typically, they last about till the first cut of training camp.
Yeah, played in NFL Europe.
Yeah.
kind of thing.
They don't last 12 years. And he'd be like, how'd you feel about those other guys in the wide receiver room? It's like, the other guys in the room. I'm waiting for them to get their big old plastic bag, stuff their clothes in there, and see you later. Your career's over.
Like, exactly.
I got four kids to support.
He was working for Vincent Papale.
He's like, I'm either going to be, working in my dad's company, or I'm going to get the minimum paycheck of $675,000, right? And that's sometimes what we forget is, you think Young Wei Koo is really doing everything possible? What's the kid's name?
Lenny Craig.
Yeah. Why the hell would Young Wei Koo be doing everything possible to help Lenny Craig?
Yeah,
let's be honest. Young Wei Koo, I say this with all due respect, Young Wei Koo's family, if Lenny Craig pulls his hammy, they're going to see that report and be like, phew.
Yeah.
There's $5 million I know we're getting
good
this
to
year.
Go.
Right. I mean, it is.
You know what's funny? And I won't say his name, but I had a teammate of mine that has a story that he tells from time to time. It's not my story to tell, but actually got cut midseason, but talked Thomas and Mike Smith into keeping him on the team. And it's the most insane story. He essentially was like, you're going to cut me right now in the middle of a playoff run? And you're telling me that guy that you replaced me with is who you're going to trot out to the fans if something happens? He's like, this is unbelievable, and walks out of the office. They call him 5 minutes later as he's doing his
checkout. You got to be kidding me.
Doing his checkout
you
physical
gotta be
downstairs
kidding.
In the training room.
That's
they're checking him out as he's leaving. They call him back, and they go, hey, come back in here. hey, well, you know what? We're going to keep you around. And you're like,
did they move him to the, just kept him on the roster?
Yeah, kept him on the roster. And not only that, he played 3 or 4 more NFL seasons.
Do you know, I can't remember if you're a Seinfeld guy. Are you a Seinfeld guy?
Ish. It's not really my go zone, but yes, I like it now.
So the episode, which is a true story about Larry David, when he quits Saturday Night Live. In this case, George quits. I forget what job it was. And he's like, I'm fed up. I can't get my skits on the air. You guys, I'm so tired of this. Throws his thing. I'm out of here. And then he leaves the building, and somebody says to him, like, dude, you don't quit a job like that. He's like, well, what do I do? Just show up on Monday like nothing happened, right? So there's the episode, dude, where George just walks in, and it's just like, what? I didn't lose my job.
That happened to a friend of mine at Bama when Mike Shula was fired. He shut, like, quits midseason. He's like, I'm done. Nick Saban gets hired, has his first team meeting like February 3rd or something, shows up to the team meeting. And Nick doesn't know the guy, so he's just like, oh, cool, happy to have you. Everybody's working with a clean slate.
Did it work?
No, and then like finally, an assistant strength coach is like, dude, you quit the team like 3 months ago. Why are you here? And he goes up to the staff meeting and tells Saban, he's like, this kid quit. Like, he has no business being here. My buddy was so hot. He's like, man.
That is hysterical.
It was unbelievable.
I'm just going to
walk. Got outed.
Yeah.
Just walked right in.
But that doesn't sound that convincing, what your buddy said. You're really going to cut me? That's all it took for them to rethink it? I got to get that story from Dimitrov.
I know, man.
I mean, like, maybe it's like, listen, there's a lot of things I'll do, and I'll be a mentor to these guys, and give me a chance to kind of
coach them. I would love to hear from Thomas's angle as well, because the story told on my end is – very intriguing. Very intriguing.
I bet you the truth is somewhere in the middle.
It's got to be.
I would say.
Got to be.
Hey, we're going to do 9 and 9, but after the break, yesterday was maybe as good as it gets in terms of access and practice and ones versus ones.
Yeah.
If you even care about the NFL a little bit or kind of how decisions are made, forget about the preseason. I mean, yesterday was like Michael Penix and all the ones, and there's Drake, and there's the rest of the offense, and Tyler. So it was really cool. We'll get to Mike on that, which is great to have him. But let's do our 9 at 9. Well, the Atlanta Braves, I said it, they're going to be playing out the string. I mean, that's obvious. But they're getting to historically bad levels of baseball. While the Milwaukee Brewers, I was just thinking about the Brewers and what the odds are for them to win the World Series, with now clearly separating themselves with the best record in baseball. They're 12-1 in their last 13. They got a great starting staff. They swept the Braves. They win 5-4 yesterday. How much of America would be rooting for the Milwaukee Brewers against the Dodgers in an NLCS, where the Dodgers have like 10 times the money, the LA market, every free agent, and then here's little Milwaukee, right? Just grinding away. They've never won a World Series, right? The Milwaukee Brewers.
Not to my knowledge, no. Milwaukee is literally referred to as Chicago's largest suburb. I mean, it's 90 miles away.
But, you know, a very underrated, great downtown. I've heard
phenomenal.
Great things.
The stadium's – no, I've heard from multiple people.
Summerfest.
The stadium's one of the best ones in America.
Yeah. No, I've heard people love – Milwaukee.
And the only reason I bring up the Chicago thing is because I reminded you this a couple days ago. They stole Craig Council. The Cubs stole Craig Council from Milwaukee. And Milwaukee, most people don't even know who their manager is.
So the Cubbies come out and have this great start to the year. They've been good. And everybody's kind of like, see Milwaukee? He made the right move.
Yeah.
Anyway, we shouldn't be talking about the Brewers. Braves lose 5-4. The loss to Spencer Strider, 4 2/3, 11 hits, 5 runs. We'll hear from him later. He's just not there.
I have said this multiple times on the morning shift. I'm looking, how can these players help this team in 2026? And I'm starting to have very large concerns about where Spencer Strider fits. This is a guy you thought is a perennial Cy Young contender every single year.
I know. 2 years ago, there was no better pitcher in baseball. On a scale of 1 to 10, and I'll give you the answer, 10, how bad a signing so far has Jerkson Profar been?
I told you this the minute he got suspended. Now you're not only asking questions about when he comes back, it's the next couple of years. You don't know what you paid for.
Bo, have you
watched him? He was in year 12 and he's his first time All-Star last year.
Have you watched him play defense or try to play defense?
All right, that ball that was hit to him yesterday. So I'm going to be the only person that comes to the defense of Jerickson Profar on this one. That was the hardest ball to field.
I know, it's in right at
Major League Baseball. It was a bullet hit right at him.
Did you watch the call?
There's no way he feels that even if he backs up on it.
Oh,
now,
come on. Come
now
on,
he
come
on. Now he takes a step forward.
He's not. He's
then
not.
He jumps and falls down.
He's not a good fielder. Hey, did you see the College World Series with the kid? Was it when LSU won that game? Remember, it was hit right at the kid with two outs on Vandy,
and he got hit in the shoulder with it.
Yeah,
dude, the hardest ball to field in Major League Baseball is a ball hit right to you.
Yeah,
it was a laser. I will give you.
I know,
that.
But
a Major League left fielder should catch.
Did he just say he it was too hard to catch? Did Bo just say that?
Yeah, he said
no. It was an impossible ball for him to catch. He would not have caught it in any circumstance.
He said impossible.
Now he fell down, which makes it look pretty silly, but.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
The kid on Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Well, he would have got him to game three.
You can't sit here and try to act like Alex Verdugo would be a better.
Well, dude, you know me. How
Pro
I feel
Far's
about
got double-digit homers, doesn't he?
Alex Verdugo was a
dude,
clown.
Don't even get me started on that.
Anyway, what else do we need to tell you? NFL stories of note. You got anything? Aaron Rodgers says he's on board for preseason opener if he's asked. That's not going to happen, right?
No, it's not going to happen. You will get Joe Burrow tonight, though. Supposedly, Joe Burrow's going to get some burn. They're talking about playing him. They've been historically bad to start the year since Joe Burrow's been there. They're going to try a different set of circumstances with that one. So, see how that pans out.
Yeah, we'll get some Jerry Jones stuff talking about, obviously, Micah Parsons. But, I mean, you know, there's no news out of Georgia and Georgia Tech for the most part to talk through. But we can talk through Falcons practice yesterday. And the three things that jumped out at Mike Johnson, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I have a question about Michael Penix. Is his leash as long as it needs to be? Even in a season where if you don't make the playoffs, it's an utter disaster. Kirk Cousins sitting right behind him. Sports Radio 92.9. .924 Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Steak Shapiro. Mike Johnson here, host of the morning shift. Listen, if the guy has to do 5 hours, he'll do 5 hours. We'll see. You got anything you have to do at home now?
I got stuff going on, but nothing more important than the steakhouse. The kids are back at daycare. Lindsay's back at work. The summer's over with.
What does she do? She a teacher?
She's a high school counselor. God bless her, Steak. I don't know how anybody does
things
that.
Things she must see and hear.
I don't know anybody. Like somehow they have merged high school counselors to be in charge of students' mental health and also in terms of their transcripts for college. I don't know how that became the same job. I really don't. Like, hey, Melissa needs another credit so she can get a 4.6 GPA, and then Johnny walks in who's like, you know what?
Johnny's dad left 3 months ago
with 100%. And like she comes home and I'm like, she's just dodging bullets from every direction.
Does she get excited to help kids get into college though? Does that excite her? It's just a lot of work.
To an extent, yes. I mean, she does, but it's always
like
it's the ones who
she'd
like,
be more excited if it was her only job.
It's just with anything. Like there's kids that like I want to go to college. I need you to help me to get into college. And then there's kids that I want a full ride to Stanford. And you're like, oh, dude, you need to calm down.
What about the kid that you go? I think college might not be for you.
She's pretty.
Blunt. I hear Mike Bell in my. Mike Bell and I have a bit. Like, not everybody's built for everything, right? Yeah. It's like, little Jimmy, I've assessed your transcript, and what I'm thinking is, landscaping is an unbelievable opportunity for you.
She's
which, by the way, is a good career.
It's a great career. She is due probably some royalties check from Chattanooga Tech.
They
have her name on file.
Are you
file.
Getting? Oh, hold on.
They have her name on file at Chattanooga Tech.
I like how your principal is like, Lindsay, we need to talk to you for a second. Yeah. Are you getting paid by Chattanooga Tech? Because you seem to be moving more and more kids in that direction. He's like, well,
Susie,
do you know? Do you know who those kids are?
Susie said that you told her to consider underwater welding. She was looking at Yale. You said underwater welding. Yeah.
Listen, I just heard from the Johnsons. Their kid was dead set on Northwestern, and I think you just said Chattanooga Tech would be a better option. They're all fired up.
All of a sudden,
up.
He's a diesel mechanic.
It's like Mike Bell and I talk about coaching kids and how the worst kind of parents are the ones that don't understand. Like I had a keen understanding, and Bo could probably speak to this, right? Of how good my kid was compared to everybody else. And, you know, it's you know, listen, my coach Bobby, he was batting eighth and playing right field for a reason,
yes,
right?
Yes.
When I coach in basketball, fourth quarter, last 4 minutes, he wasn't one of the five. Like, I got it, right? I'm trying to win games. So Mike Bell and I do a bit when he used to coach in Long Island. How dare you put Charlie, you're batting him 10th, and you're playing right field. How dare you?
He's like, playing right center when there's four outfielders.
He's like, ma'am, he's holding the bat on the wrong side. He's holding it on the barrel side, and he ran to third base when he hit it. Like, what more do you need to see?
Coaching high school ball, man. It's like, you know, hey, why did you could play my kid at safety? I'm like, your kid runs a 6.5 40. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. The best advice I can tell you is have the kid put on 40 pounds, and I'll stick him at right guard.
That's like,
his only chance.
I promise you, don't yell from the bleachers. If you want to come in here and watch film, I will open the office door right now and show you exactly what I'm looking at.
I'm thinking my kid could play corner. Your kid just ran the 40 backwards. Like, he couldn't have run any slower.
Jimmy is 4'10". What are you talking about, man?
We're playing Buford next week. What are you talking about?
That kid's going to Ohio State? It's a terrible idea.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, give me the three things from Pratt. First of all, it was a Chamber of Commerce Falcons training camp day. The weather was spectacular. They were running full scrimmage right in front of the fans, ones versus ones when I was there. Tell me some of the things that jumped out of you.
You said I was going to give a good, bad, and the ugly. I'm flipping that on its head. I'm going to give you an awesome, a good, and a bad.
Okay. All I said was three things, but
you said good, bad, ugly.
Oh, did I? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's not, because I don't have a bad and an ugly. I got an awesome, a good, and a bad. Okay, right. So awesome. Let me tell you something. Drake London is an absolute freak of nature. He's basically Spider-Man at wide receiver. If it's in the vicinity of his arms, it's coming down.
Dude, how about the way his hands and his body? You want to talk about an elite athlete? Now, if you want to know what a great basketball player, how that translates to the football field,
that's it.
That dude's athleticism, when I saw it on ESPN, Drake London mosses, you know, that was Terrell, right? The
yes.
One right in front of us?
Yes.
Dude, AJ Terrell is in his grill.
It could
he's
not
have
looking
been
better
at the
covered.
Ball, but he is, there's not an inch.
Better. Could not have been better covered. And you know, we had a chance last year to catch up with Drake and this year. And one of the conversations we had is, hey, who's the fastest wide receiver on the team? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. It's not me. Partly Darnell. He's like, but that's not my game. My game is to make contested
go
catches
and
be
it.
Physical. And there's nobody better in the NFL at being physical and making contested catches.
He had the one over the middle that Penix threw him. Right down the middle of the field. Where he had to go pretty high.
Where
in the
he
air.
Had to climb the ladder
yep.
over the middle.
And
he
then,
was not worried about his ribs
no.
or getting hit. No,
and
he
then
was
a
there.
Play later, corner of the end zone, AJ Terrell in his grill. Just snatch that thing.
Snatch it like Spider-Man, baby. And that leads to my good, not awesome, good. I thought Michael Penix was good yesterday. I thought really off of play action, which is something that has been in the crosshairs of Atlanta Falcons fans for a couple of years now, but the play action pass has got to expand this year. Michael Penix throwing the deep ball. First one to Casey Washington, second one to Ray Ray.
Insanely. I heard the Ray McCloud throw was crazy.
They're both on Twitter. If you haven't seen them, going to Atlanta Falcons Twitter. Both of them in the breadbasket. I'm talking about like 50-yard throws.
Okay.
Insane.
All right, what else?
The bad, I will say, if there was one thing, I thought that looking at the pass rush, I wasn't getting what I thought I would. Now, maybe that's a head nod to the depth of the offensive line. Maybe that's there. I don't know.
Well,
you didn't have Storm Norton.
They're certainly a far ahead of them. We talked yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, Lindstrom veteran, Matthews veteran, McGarry veteran, Bergeron veteran against a bunch of guys, right?
Yeah. And they are tagging off. They're not obviously bringing guys to the ground. They're tagging off on the quarterbacks. But I thought all four quarterbacks at times yesterday did a good job stepping up in the pocket and delivering the ball. Even Easton Stick, he scrambles out of the pocket, climbs the pocket, scrambles. I want to say like a 50-yard gain out of Easton Stick yesterday. So they did not get home like I thought they would in scrimmage mode. But, again, they're just tagging off. So I'm not saying ugly. It's just a tag off.
What about the rookies? And we're not going to hear those cuts now. We'll hear maybe later. But both Billy Bowman Jr. spoke yesterday and Xavier Watts. Well, what are you hearing and seeing from those guys?
Billy Bowman looks the part. I will say that he does not look like a guy that is overwhelmed in any way. I think that we've all kind of looked at Clark Phillips and Dee Alford and wondered kind of where they're sitting. And Dee Alford's had a nice camp. I don't want to take anything away from him, but Billy Bowman looks like he belongs at the nickel spot. He looks like the kind of hybrid player that they brought him in here to be. And what I mean by that is you look at certain corners and you're like, oh, that guy will slide into nickel. He's a corner. He'll play nickel. Billy Bowman is a cross between a corner and a safety. And that's exactly why they drafted him, to be a box-type player, to be around the line of scrimmage, and a guy that's not afraid to go up and make a tackle on a, say, Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah, speaking of Tyler Allgeier, he joins Dukes and Bell yesterday, something which is about as obvious as, you know, the sky is blue. There is no wiggle. There is no building. There is no process. He knows it. We all know it. They're going to be in the playoffs this season.
I think so. I think we're due for one, man. I feel about, for me, shoot, I haven't really been in a true playoff or like playoff atmosphere, just because independent, or at BYU we were independent and stuff. So really just having like a division to win.
Right.
So I think it felt like we were so close. So it should be. I'm due for one, at least.
Yeah. He hasn't been so close. He has been close at all. Like last year wasn't close because, by the way, even if we'd won the last game, Tampa won the game anyway, yeah. Right? You lost the game you needed to win was the Commander game.
Yeah.
You know, so
you needed the Saints to win. They didn't.
And you needed to win.
And you needed to win.
Yeah, at one point the Saints were winning and you were winning.
Yeah, you felt good about it.
Yeah, except that, you know, the Saints were the worst team in the league and they weren't going to win. And then you gave up 43 points to Bryce Young. Tyler Allgeier's, they're all under contract right now. That offensive line, Tyler's going to be here. Drake's here. Bijan's here. Darnell's here. Ray Ray's here. Kyle's here. They're all not going to be here. This is it. This is their chance. And Tyler Allgeier, let's go to the cut about the offense overall, Bo, on wanting this offense, the next cut, to be the best in the league.
That's what we want to feel. That's what we are going to feel. I feel like, it's just a mindset. I feel like if we want to be the best offense and can be the best offense, we will be the best offense if that's the case.
Yeah, I want to go back to about him talking about being in the playoffs. There, it's terribly deflating when you're not part of that conversation. My first 3 years with the Atlanta Falcons, two of the 3 years we won the division, and the other year we went to the playoffs and we're a pretty good team. It just, that seems so foreign now.
When you come out of a tunnel and it's a playoff game.
In the build, just showing up in the building week after week and just getting your teeth beat.
Listen, if they have a good year, by playoff, listen, they're not going to, if you think Tampa's going to be a great crowd, you don't understand the city. If you think it's going to be a great crowd 4 weeks later, you don't understand the city. It'll be a great crowd in December if we're 10-6 and we're lighting it up. Then everybody in town is going to be like, I love this team. But they have a lot of work to do, right?
Yes.
And
yes, they do.
And it's not like they're all like, I can't wait for the Bucks. No, you
got to gain our trust. They've got to gain our trust. We don't trust them right now.
Yeah, and no reason to. When we come back, I want to talk to college football fans. You as a 20-year-old at school and you as a 50-year-old. I talked to my daughter who said, she gave me her schedule for the fall. I thought I wanted to come back as an exchange student like she was this summer. No, I want to come back as a junior at Georgia. Wow. I want her life. I'll tell you about it. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. My name is Steak. That's Mike Johnson. The light is on. The steakhouse is open. Come get a table and enjoy. Sit back.
I don't know. Shameless plug for you. Your other company.
Bread and butter.
Yeah, I caught an Instagram that one of your content creators put out, and I put it on the list. I gotta go. There's a new Mexican joint up in a new development up near me up in Dunwoody.
Yes, I just saw that yesterday. Thanks. And for I was like, Atlanta Eats just put that up.
Yeah, and I was like, dude. I talked to my wife. I was like, hey, they got a little lawn outside for the kids to run around and be crazy. Much like, because we go to Super Rica sometimes up in Dunwoody, a perimeter. Got the same thing, same vibe.
Have you been to that Funwoody area with
yes.
Barn?
Yes.
Message in a bottle.
Yeah, and that place was nuts. One Saturday or Friday, we drove over there, we're going to eat, and the place was packed.
So the concept is you have a TV, massive
like
TV,
a jumbotron
tables
in the middle,
and four restaurants surrounding it. Not food halls, restaurant.
Well, and that's the same similar thing over there at Dunwoody. I'm talking about outside of Super Rico, which has
that whole area there, right?
They don't have a Jumbotron, but
Hawkers, Asian Eatery, and all that. Yeah,
yes. So we love it. Did you go over there on a Friday night? Like with it is like a kid factory. I mean, there's just kids throwing football, soccer balls.
You know, restaurants survive the summer. They survive it. And especially high-end ones, because the money in Atlanta disappears, right? They're trying to they don't rich people say, I don't need to be hot. I can be in Aspen. I can be in Maine. I can be in Nantucket. Right. I don't need to be warm.
Seasonal living.
Yes, dude. Yeah. So they all
come
back. I think
that's the dream, right?
Right.
That's the dream.
Yeah. I mean, if someday we can come back as that. And when the fall kicks in, I mean, forget about it. Like, nobody's taking vacations in early September. Everybody's here. This town explodes. The one thing that hurts restaurants in the fall and is either if you don't have a television, right on a Saturday night, or when Georgia, and I know this for a fact, if Georgia kicks off at 3:30 or 8 o'clock on Saturday night, and I want to be cliched or stereotype, but it's just a fact more often, you know, but the wife may have a plan for Saturday night.
Yes.
And if you're a Georgia football fan, you look at your wife and you go, that's adorable. We're playing Tennessee at 8 o'clock. We're not going to dinner with the Gordons.
If you will just allow me to tell this story really quick. My wife did this to me, and it was like opening weekend last year. And it might have been a Friday night. Georgia Tech was playing on a random night, like a Thursday or Friday, something like that. My wife made dinner plans, made reservations. We went to a nice Italian spot near downtown Dunwoody. Okay. But kind of on its own. Dude, I get in there and I start getting texts. One of the kids I coached when I was at Lasser was playing left tackle for Georgia Tech. And it was like his debut. And I was like, oh. I'm like looking at her going, I got to go watch this game. You cannot keep me in it. And she signed on. And we just walked up. We told our waitress, walked up to the bar and watched. But to your point, they had a TV in the other room that you could go check out. And we walked to the bar.
But for the most part, if you're a big Georgia, Auburn, Bama, Tennessee, that doesn't work.
My wife's a bigger Bama fan than I am, dude.
Like, she doesn't miss games.
She doesn't miss Bama games. Like, period.
So I was talking to my daughter about her fall because we're laying out. You know, we got two girls in college now. We got one who's dancing at Tulane, and they're supposed to be pretty good this year. Outside chance to be the team that gets in as the 12th team. And the Georgia's obviously our relationship with Kirby and the incredible coverage and my daughter being there and all that. And then, of course, covering the Falcons and being at Falcons games and everything else. So we're laying out, and I was talking to my daughter about a few things. She's like, well, yeah, I got to be at the Tennessee game in Knoxville, you know. And then I got to be at the Auburn game. And then, of course, we all go down for Fraternity Beach or whatever that thing's called down in Florida. And, of course, we have the home games. Kentucky's the first one. It's a huge one. Yeah. And then, of course, we got all and it's like she's not even going to most of it. Like, they go to the road games and they just party in Knoxville.
You actually – and I think she went to Tuscaloosa last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she did not have a ticket. She went to Texas, did not have a ticket. Stayed with a girl who was going to the game and just hung out in Austin, right? That's the thing.
Call that paratrooping.
Yeah. I'm wondering,
gliding in there.
As a 51-year-old man, if you're listening, 32-year-old guy, compare your passion for your team to when you were at school. Because when you were at school, you may have known the players that are living on campus or certainly like – you know, I've got more buddies that were at Georgia 1980, 81, 82 during Herschel's years there, right? There's the Aaron Murray era. There's all kinds of different times when you were there. Is that the biggest fan that you ever are, or does it just grow and grow and grow and grow to the point where now, you know, I know older gentlemen that literally there are two things in their life are, and I'm not even kidding. Like, I love my family and I love Georgia football. And, like, those two things are not the only thing I make time for.
Yeah.
Right?
Those people definitely exist. I mean, look, I'm from, like, you know, played at Alabama. Yes. I know those things exist over there.
So do you think that you're never a bigger fan than when you're there? Or now is it, like, how much is geared, whether it's Mike Conte in Penn State, which I imagine the same with Wisconsin, and the same with, you know, Ohio State and Michigan, and the same with, I don't know, take any of them. Now, I'm going to be – I'm going to stereotype and say it's not the same if you grew up in the UCLA, USC, or, Oregon, Washington. Andy would probably disagree with me there, but it's not the same. Now, it's the same in Big Ten schools. It's the same. I don't know what kind of football fan. And I ask you the question, 404-726-0929, if you have an example, 404-726-0929. Like, my daughter lives and breathes. She would not go overseas for junior year abroad because she said, that's why she was there this summer, Daddy, I can't miss football season.
Right.
It's my junior year. I got two left.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, but the programs overseas are amazing. This, it's like, do you see our schedule?
It's crazy you bring up California. We used to have a running joke among the Falcons offensive line that, like, it feels like, it, like, when you play Monday Night Football, it feels like everybody in the world is watching. Like, that's what it feels like when you're on Monday Night Football. Everybody in the world's watching. And we, one time, jokingly got a text from our buddy Will Svitek, who's a Stanford grad. He had gotten injured, went to rehab out in California. He texts us before Monday Night Football. He goes, I just want you guys to know that nobody at the bar I'm at is watching the game. And, like, we just laughed because we were like, thank God.
Well,
it just feels like everybody's
for,
yes.
They're usually at a beach, on a bike,
yep.
Hiking,
lives in
whatever.
Hermosa, I mean, that's something what like that.
And
it's different out there, man.
It's like, you may have to say, could you put the Monday night game on at 6 o'clock at a bar?
Exactly.
At some Mexican Tex-Mex
exactly.
joint, right?
Yes.
So are you the biggest fan? Can you think about the biggest fan you ever were of college? Is it when you were there? When you literally, like, in the bubble that is your campus, the next college game feels enormous. The hype leading into it. How are we getting tickets? Are we traveling for the game? So-and-so, I have a class with him. That's amazing, right? Those guys were out at the bars after. The whole thing that goes with that.
Yeah. How is it for you?
Well, I mean, listen, I grew up in a pro sports town. When I was at Tulane, I knew all the players. We were pretty good.
Yeah.
Mack Brown was our head coach. Let's just say I had a buddy from New York. I don't know what the drug testing was, but I know our quarterback and running backs on Tuesday nights, I'd get out of my, you know, we had like a little mini apartment, and I'd be like, okay.
All right.
Dude, I'm not even. Our
Party on, Wayne.
Our quarterback would be watching Cheech and Chong. I'm not even kidding. This is like cliched. And there'd be a mountain of smoke, and I'd be like, you know, he's playing Brett Favre in Southern Miss on Saturday. That's what it was. We're playing Southern Mississippi and Brett Favre. I was like, is that good for him?
That's
right
not
now?
Good.
Dude, yeah. And he knew who was always holding. This kid was always holding. And sure enough, the starting. But, I mean, now they're like your buddies, right?
Yeah.
You know? And they're sitting there on the couch. And they're just laughing their ass off.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the Johnny Manziel stories.
Tuesday nights. Now. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't out of control. I don't think there was a lot of drug testing going on, and it was like, but we lived it. So we drove to Hattiesburg because we were playing Brett Favre.
Of course.
We went to the most miserable bowl game. It was the Poulan Weed Eater Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Independence Bowl later on.
Independence
yeah.
Bowl. No, it wasn't.
Yeah,
Independence
I played
bowl.
In that game
It was
twice.
Later the
it
Weed Eater
a
Bowl.
Miserable game.
So we drove in an RV to the least hype bowl game in history. Chris Chandler and Washington. Think about those poor kids at Washington.
Oh, God.
How bad a year do they have to have had that their bowl game was against Tulane? That's not exactly the payoff when,
dude.
I don't know who was their coach, Don James at the time.
Oh,
think about their sideline. Hey, we're putting this bowl game together. How's Washington going to travel? Well, sir, we're expecting 71 people in the Washington fan base. To show up and, like, think about that game. But, again, we were students.
Don James.
We knew the players. And we're like, we're going to that game. And I think we lost. And Mack Brown, that's when he said, sayonara. And he went to North Carolina and became North Carolina head coach.
You know that Don James is, like, Nick Saban's hero. Did you know that?
No.
Like, he's, like, he is Nick Saban's hero. So, it's funny you bring up
Blast
Don James.
Blast from the past. 404.
Crazy.
726-0929. Was the most into it when you were there? Or did it just grow? And I think college football is different. I could argue with pro sports. I've said from age 12 to 17 is the most in love you are with your team when you are living in a city, right? Braves fans as a 14-year-old with Chipper Jones playing or Ronald Acuna or maybe a 10-year-old. Not that you're not a fan your whole life, but I think college is different. And as an adult, I'm always jealous that, like, you know, Sandra, you have Florida State for the rest of your life, right? You have that forever. You have Saturdays figuring out where I'm going to go watch FSU or Bama or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Down here, up here, it just adds to a quality of life. There's a quality of life
no
play
doubt.
Here, right?
No doubt, man. And obviously, I'm not the great person to ask, but I would, for me, I think it's in eras. Like, I think the way I look at it is you become a fan in an era. You know, like when they're really great and the greats are playing, like you're a fan, but maybe when there's down weekends, you're not
when
paying.
When you show up at Tuscaloosa, what percentage of fans recognize you? if there's 100 fans there?
Oh, man, I don't know. Right now, I've been gone so long. 25%? I would say, I'd say 20, 25%.
Right.
And look, I'm, you know, got a basic name, basic face. But, you know, the height gets people like, that's a big dude. Who's that? And then, you know, maybe.
Well, I mean, listen, you didn't play skilled position.
Right.
So,
right. I don't own Julio Jones.
But you were captain of an Alabama football team that won a national title.
I get, it's probably, I'd say 20, 25%.
Are they saying Mikey? Or they go, Mike Johnson. Is that Mike Johnson? MJ, what was it?
Dude, what are they you screaming? Mike Johnson?
Is that what
yeah, every now and then. You know what I mean.
That'll be cool for your kids when you go back, right?
There, like, I had kids at the pool last week that, like, one of them realized I used to play football in the NFL. And they're, like, telling my son. And my son's like, I don't really care. My son's 4. He's like, dude, I don't care if he played for the Falcons. Kid's like, do you know your dad played for the Falcons? My son's like, yeah, I know. Like, who cares? Right. You know, like he didn't quite get it yet, but yeah. He's getting there.
Yeah, if you want to talk college football, 404-726-0929. Chat it up from when you were there. What era was that? Could depend on how good, like you said, you were there. Ray Goff years probably didn't have the same juice as Mark Richt and Aaron Murray and playing for SEC titles, just like with Vince Dooley 3 years in a row playing for national titles, and you got Herschel Walker. I'd imagine how big a fan you are, that may play itself out as well. By the way, the tailgate is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Is it fair to say that the whole SEC is the whole SEC? It's very hard without having seen some of these quarterbacks under fire, under the gun in Knoxville, Tuscaloosa, Athens, where they're going to have to go win games.
Yes.
We don't know what we're going to get.
Dude, we talked to Phil Still about this the other day, and I said, who are you most confident in? How can you be confident in any of the teams that you put in the top 25? And he names off guys like Cade Klubnik. We think we know. But, dude, go back one calendar year to what Cade Klubnik looked like against Georgia in the opener just down the street. It was awful. So you got names like Lenora Sellers and DJ Lagway. Do we really know? Everybody's crowning Ty Simpson over at Bama. Ty Simpson couldn't beat out Jalen Milroe last year. Why is he all of a sudden going to make it rain?
Well, it's the same with Gunnar Stockton. I mean, the body of work is 1.5 games, right?
Yeah.
I won't say he cost you, but the turnover against Notre Dame, that game ended essentially at the end of the first half because that was a, you know, tight game where you didn't ask Gunnar Stockton to do anything. And then he had the half where he made a couple of plays against Texas. But how would I be like, oh, this is it. This is it for Georgia right now. Now, their receivers are sick.
Yes.
They're
completely remade.
Right.
Yeah, but here's what I'll say. The Arch Manning thing, where they're the preseason number one or whatever, why are you that much more confident in Arch Manning than you are in Gunnar Stockton right now? That's what my question is to a lot of people. What is Arch Manning? Like, okay, he was great against a few bad teams, and I realize that the sky's the limit, but what did he look like against Georgia?
It's going to be fascinating.
I don't know. Like, what did he look like against Georgia? He looked like a deer in headlights.
Yeah. I mean, Georgia had him wrapped up. But having him have to go to Ohio State, the national champs in Columbus, 100,000 people. Now, the family's built for it. The players built for it. But
right.
I'm just bummed that game is when it is. Noon. I mean, right? You don't even let me breathe.
Fox, man.
You don't even let me breathe.
Killing us with that stuff. I don't understand.
No.
Yeah, dude. That's brutal.
You know, like, you know, get home from your little workout over at the Forum.
It's a great weekend, though. You and I talked about it 2 days ago.
No, it's a sick weekend. My point is, I like my day to build. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like when you were younger. It's like, you know, let's get some foreplay.
When you were younger, it would have been just a continuation of your Friday night. You'd have still had a buzz when you woke up.
No, I was saying back when, you know, you want some foreplay, you want to anticipate it. You know what I mean? You're at the bar all
night.
When
does that era end?
It's called marriage. Marriage. How long have you been married? Listen, we kick off at 12.
6 years into
it's 11:47. We kick off at noon. Let's wrap this up, sweetie.
Six and a half years into this marriage. Like, yeah.
I mean, I'm up for it.
We got to put it on the schedule at this point. I got to put it on the calendar.
All right, we'll come back. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Thanks for hanging out. Are you staying? Are you leaving? What are you doing?
I can give you one more segment. Yeah, I can give you one more.
We're going to talk to some folks.
Let's
do the biggest fan you've ever been when you were at your college? Because I can't imagine my daughter being, I mean, like her whole fall is about the Dogs. Go Dogs! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Hey, it's 10:02. What's the biggest college football passion you've ever had? Was it when you were there? Was it when you saw folks on campus? Was it when you had a fraternity house of 140 dudes all watching a road game together and losing your mind and, you know, jumping off of, like, you know, balconies on top of each other? Or is it just an ongoing, you know?
And the frat stage you made out of 2x4s for the house band that was playing there that night at the frat house, you know, that kind of thing going on?
I mean, there's nothing like being at school when that stuff happens, right? I don't care if it's March Madness. I don't care if it's, you know, you're at the SEC. There's a reason the migration from all these Northeast kids want to be down here. It's not complicated, right?
No, it's an easy
formula. You're sitting in Trenton, New Jersey, right? And you're considering Rutgers, and then you're like, hold on, let me just pop on my social media here to the University of Alabama. Whoa, that's what the girls look like?
Yeah.
Well, we are in the Big Ten. Let me see how their football. Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about joining a fraternity and like. Check every box any 19-year-old dude would care about, right? Yep. Weather, chicks, fraternity,
man.
Football.
Man.
Like, there's a reason. Like, I'm telling you, where I grew up, in a million years, you never said, like, hey, where are your kids going? Well, they're thinking about Middlebury and Bowdoin and, you know, Miami of Ohio or, you know, it's like now it's like Ole Miss, Alabama, and Tennessee, depending which one we get in. It's like, depending which one you get in.
Man.
Depending where you get in.
Middlebury.
Yeah.
It's like, it's been 20 years since I got to campus at Alabama, and it's changed a lot.
Have you even heard of Middlebury, Boats, Baden, Tufts,
no,
Colby?
No.
You heard any of those places?
No.
So those are all these small kind of liberal arts schools in New England where kids would be like, I guess that's where I'm going.
I'm picturing
middle of bum blank New Hampshire.
What's the school up near like Woodstock? Is it Reinhardt? That's the private school up that way.
Let me think. I can go to. I can go. I am literally. Colby's a great school. Colby's, you know, it's a great academic. I can go to Colby in Waterville, Maine, or I can go to Oxford, Mississippi.
Never heard any of these words before other than
the
Maine.
The ugliest girl, the ugliest girl at Ole Miss would win Miss New Hampshire. The ugliest girl at Ole Miss would she just would sweep the competition. Right, like if that girl showed
tears
up,
tears coming down my face.
If that girl showed up at Bowdoin College in Lewiston, Maine, she'd be the hottest girl there for 25-year stretch.
Oh, man.
Like she'd be like, who's hotter than her? It would take 25 years to unseat her.
You're talking about the girl from Chat Tech, she's
that's why you want to know everybody goes to school down here. That's why.
Oh,
hey,
man,
let's get
funny.
James in Atlanta. Hey, James, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, James?
Hey, say good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Good, good. I was at Georgia from 2000 to 2004.
Okay.
Good, good. Uh-oh. I was from 2000 to 2004.
I got you. Is this a goof? Is this somebody from the other radio station? Right, here we go. He's out.
Okay.
Is this somebody from the other radio station just trying to mess with me?
Let's try to think. So he's a big David Green guy, right?
Did you hear Rusty and I saw him down at Starbucks?
Did you really?
Last week?
No kidding, man.
You know how big he is?
Yeah,
how tall he is?
Big dude.
He looks awesome, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
He had a meeting at the Starbucks.
That's like,
down there.
I'm trying to think. That's like that's Georgia's edition of, like, Bama's version of that would be Brody Croyle.
I loved watching him play quarterback.
Yeah.
I loved. Was he not better than Brody Croyle, though?
Yeah, he definitely was. Like, you know, when I see Tiny,
in that era.
Brody was like a five-star quarterback.
David
Brody
Green
was supposed
was
to be the
just,
next coming over
I
there.
I just loved watching the play action of the lefty and spreading the field.
David got drafted, right?
Yeah, he was with the Browns, like Eric Zier was.
Yeah, Brody's like third-rounder of the Chiefs.
I don't even know if he played an NFL snap. 404-726-0929. College football fans of any of these places. Also, the whole Northeast thing, I don't know, we've never kicked it around much here, but my two best friends in the world, both roommates in college, grew up in Newton, Mass. And Boston. Both kids are at Clemson. Both
no
their
kidding.
Sons are at Clemson.
Yeah. Wow.
Clemson's got more kids from New Jersey than any other state other than South Carolina.
Did you have, like, when you, like, obviously you've got two daughters are in college now. Did you have any, like, non-negotiables? Like, you can't go to this place? Like, I wouldn't let you in at this kind of school. I would not sign that check to send you to this place.
Not really. Although I... Listen, when you have the opportunity to go to school in Georgia, your kid has to really convince you why you're not going to take the Hope Scholarship or not take, you know, all those opportunities.
Right. Yes.
Because, you know, the opportunities afforded here in Georgia, and you get into UGA, it's just a hard thing. Why would you ever say no to that in this era? But I didn't have any. You know, folks just don't understand New Orleans, so their families are like, New Orleans isn't safe. You can't go to school there.
Right.
But, like, that's not New Orleans, like Tulane's uptown.
For sure.
It's 15,
sure.
20
it's like
minutes
saying
away.
Saying you can't go to Northwestern but in Chicago because
it's like
Chicago's scary.
Right. Or Atlanta's got too much crime. You can't go to Emory.
Yes.
Right?
No.
So let's go to Reggie in Buckhead. Hey, Reggie, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, pretty good, guys.
Thanks for
great
calling.
Show. Look, I was at the University of Georgia, and I was graduating in 80. Heard Herschel Walker was coming to the school, decided to go to grad school. I said, I need to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Went to grad school, went to every game, save one, was at the national championship game in New Orleans when we played Notre Dame, enjoyed that. But let me tell you, fast forward 42 years later, I'm watching the national championship game against Alabama with my son, and it's totally different. I am the bigger fan than I was back in school.
Wow.
You had a lot going on. I was in a frat. You know, you had classes. Yeah, the football was a part of that. But, man, when you get out and you live and die every fall by what your team is doing, I can tell you I'll wear that Georgia hat on vacation. I'm in Jamaica, and people are yelling at me, go dog.
Yeah.
We're
so,
watching
so
the game
how does,
and everything.
How have the last 30 years your Saturdays been influenced by Georgia? Is it – Everything has to be, we got to be there, or we got to be in front of a TV, or just much of your life revolves around making sure that you're being a damn good dog. I mean, take me through that, because you say your fandom just grew over the years.
Yeah. I mean, Saturday, you know, it's like I got to make a plan. I mean, if I'm not there, if I'm not in front of a TV, I got to make sure that I record it. And then I go on lockdown, man. I was like, don't call me. Right. Don't text me. You know, the frats texting back and forth. They're frustrated during the game. If I can't watch it, my phone is off.
You have to have it off.
And so
you have to have it off.
I have to have it off.
So what was it like to be there? Were you in Indy with your son when they won, or you watch on TV?
I watched it on TV. I actually was at the game with my wife at the Dome, you know, when Tua threw that pass, and that's a whole nother story. It happened on my birthday, so that was just – that was just crazy. We watched it on TV, and it was just, he understood
what
he didn't go to Georgia, but he understood that whole 42-year drought.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I think he was more happy for me.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call.
Isn't it funny how that you have two different, completely different perspectives? He's talking about with his son when they beat Bama and, you know, Akili Ringo and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sitting there when he brings up the Tua throw in 2017, and I'm like, oh, dude, how good was that? Oh, man, that was like my favorite play in Bama history. The Tua, and I brought the era thing earlier, because the Tua era at Bama, and I'm not talking about that season, but the following season when he takes over for Jalen Hurts, that was just insanely fun to watch.
But how about when you want Tua? I was trying to explain this to a buddy of mine who was in town, and I was like, let me just give you a little history. Because he's asking me about Stetson, he's asking me about Georgia history and the Stetson thing I had going back and forth with him at that parade and all that. And then he's like, well, who's quarterback for Alabama for this game, and this game? And then explaining, the next year, Jalen Hurts was benched. And then he shows up and throws it. Like, you think he had a good Super Bowl? The only game he may have been better than the Super Bowl was that game. Was the SEC title. It was like 11 for 11. That fourth down throw in the back of the end zone. And that guy couldn't get on the field because of Tua. Yeah. And you could see that Tua was hurt, but he just you wanted him to be almost hurt. That he kept playing, right?
Like, just keep him in the game.
Yeah, because you could see he wasn't right.
Yeah.
But, like, don't knock him out of the game because he's not right. You can see they were all over him. But then Jalen Hurts came in. I mean, dude, you talk about being tortured.
I've always – you know Brandon Adams from Dog Nation. I was working with him at the time. And I always give him credit because the entire season he would tell me, Jalen Hurts doesn't scare me. Now, their backup quarterback, that kid scares me.
Right.
And sure enough, that all led to them playing Bama and then Georgia playing Bama the national title and Tua coming in at halftime. And I was like.
Yeah, but then it flips the next year because Jalen Hurts does beat you, right?
It does beat you next year in the SEC title game.
He played so friggin' well in that game, Jalen Hurts.
That's got to be a 30 for 30. Jalen Hurts needs his own 30 for
30. Oh, my God. Guys, 100%.
He's insane.
Look at the path. Look at the path.
Oklahoma, the whole thing, man.
Even just the year before. They win the Super Bowl. Everybody's decided that maybe Jalen Hurts.
Even
not
now,
answer.
They just won a Super Bowl, the offseason talk has been.
Oh, come on.
Cam Newton versus Ryan Clark versus like all this stuff about saying if he's a top 10 quarterback. It's like, come on, man.
Let me remind everybody: 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, pressure washing at the highest level. Don't miss Wise Guys Pro Wash. The fan of college football, how much revolves and how is it different? 30s, 40s, 50s. 60s. Listen, you're not going to as many games, I would not imagine, as if you're in your 20s and you're single and you're living in Atlanta and you're a dog fan or a Bama fan. I mean, I would think you're going to as many games as you can get to, right?
Yeah.
Or you're moving to one of those cities.
It's such a fun thing to talk about. And I can't really comment because I'm different. I grew up a Florida State fan. You know what I mean? I was like a huge like.
So
Chris,
do you still
Chris
root for
Lincoln
them when they're
fan.
On TV?
Well,
you
no, because know. No, because no, because we played Florida State. When I was in college and they beat us, and I had a sick feeling after that. And I was like,
where was that game?
Jacksonville. It was a neutral site.
It was the opener? It was one of those openers?
No, I didn't want to say it was like week three or four.
Week three or four? You were in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it was random. It was like before
who
neutral
was their,
sites
who
were
was
big
their quarterback?
Like 2007.
Who
was their quarterback, man? Wasn't Christian Ponder.
Let's
might
look
have
up
been
that,
right before Christian
let's look
Ponder.
Up that game. So it's 2000.
Xavier Lee might have started for him.
Okay.
Let's see.
So having lost that game, You have no FSU love, right?
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm done.
So what do we think about the opener this year? Isn't that FSU?
I think anybody that's saying what they that they know what FSU is going to be is completely full of crap.
What's the spread on that game?
I don't know. It's not huge. It's not massive.
Really?
It's. I mean, it's like
dude. You look
10.
At Florida State's numbers last year.
But nobody knows what Bama's going to be either.
Oh, I mean, come on, questions dude, about please. Bama. Come on, please.
I feel good about
it. They beat Georgia last year. They're Alabama. I mean, Florida State was horrendous, right, 2-10.
I'm pulling up the box score from 2007. So they beat us by 7 points.
What was the score?
21-14.
On a neutral site in Jacksonville.
They had the ultimate quarterback combination that day of Drew Weatherford and Xavier Lee.
Oh, my God.
And we could do nothing.
Who played for
offense.
You?
John Parker Wilson was our quarterback. Great I got quarterback. Destroyed that game. I had a bad
Who are
bad
you trying
day.
To block?
So
that got, wasn't the tape?
He got drafted by the Panthers.
When somebody wanted to draft you, you didn't put in that tape?
No.
To say.
No, that was not the one. Burn that thing. Burn that one
you
down.
You remember thinking, like, I'm getting dogged out here?
Yeah, I was like, this has not been a good day. As a matter of fact, I'm probably
going to get
benched.
You ever hear the story, Bobby Hebert? Bobby, he swears this is true, that they were playing the Giants, and I don't know which offensive lineman it was. He's playing for the Saints, and LT was rushing the quarterback, and his right tackle kept trying to block him.
Yeah.
And at one point, he came into the huddle, and he started crying. And he just said, I can't block this guy.
I believe that.
I can't block this guy.
If they tried to ask me to block LT, I'd probably cry too.
I mean, he just literally is like, and you're like, you can't be crying.
What do you want me to do?
He's like, you can't be crying in the huddle, man.
Here's what's terrifying. Can I give you John Parker's stats? How about 53 passing attempts?
Oh, my God.
And I couldn't block the guy. I was like, why do we keep doing this? Why are we still throwing the ball?
What was his numbers?
28 of 53, 240.
That's not a great day.
No.
If you throw for 240, 4.5
yards per
attempt. All right, crazy. Mikey, thanks.
Always enjoyable, my friend.
Hey, when we come back, what's going on with Spencer Strider? Is he unraveling before our eyes? I just got word on my fantasy draft, so I'm going to work Bo for a second, find out when his show's. We still doing fantasy just an hour, though? Is that right?
Yeah, at some point. We don't know where I'm going to be slotted quite yet, but
listen,
that's the plan.
There's so much talent, so many. Journalists, we got to get on the air. You don't know. Sports Radio 99. Hey, 10 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Don't forget pressure washing at an elite level. Elite level. I'm steak. Johnson left the building. I'm flying solo. Happy to have conversations with you as you're driving around Atlanta. Not at Flowery Branch today. Been there last 3 days. Yesterday, the most pleasant, most entertaining. What did we see? A lot of ones-on-ones when I was there scrimmaging. The famous Drake London catch, famous just in terms of, you know, it was a big moment. A.J. Terrell draped all over him. It was like a 35-yard moss in the corner of the end zone that was friggin' spectacular, happened right in front of us. Michael Penix hitting Drake London over the middle. I told Bo we got to talk some fantasy. Is the stock rising on Drake London to be just an absolute fantasy monster or not?
So Drake London is one of those early steals. Right now his ADP right now, and this is, you know, we're just now getting into draft season, so there are psychopaths that have been drafting since July. Yes. Drake's slotting in right now at like 19, 20, 21, so he's back into the second round. You could take Drake early second round, he's going to pay that off easily.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of how – the problem with –
He's a steal right now where he's going.
He's a steal where they're projecting him.
Well, that's where he's going in drafts right now, is right around 20.
Oh, it's already happening.
Yeah.
How many drafts are you in?
I was in 12 total leagues last year. I'm not sure how many I'm in this year.
Jeez,
I don't really.
Wheeze.
I've done 4 drafts, I think, already. I've got one actually going on.
Is
right
there
now.
A cost in every one of them?
Yeah.
What's the buy-in average?
Oh.
$50, $100?
Yeah, sure. Somewhere around there. Only one goes up to where.
What's the most expensive one?
$500? It's up there, yeah.
That's pressure, dude, on Sundays. That's a lot of pressure.
Just another job.
Yeah. Huh? That's part of the gig, right? I wonder if anybody listening can give me an absolute baller of baller fantasy draft. Like, you see it on social, you hear about, is it the 10 of you with a friggin' weekend trip? I've heard about the Vegas trips for the draft, the weekend getaway. And then, of course, there's the penalty has to be paid by the loser. Do you have one fantasy draft that you think all the traditions trump anybody else's, right? Where the wives are like, you're doing what? You have to leave for 3 days for your fantasy draft, and Billy has to wear a dress to the nightclub? We're like, what are you talking? Like, whatever it is. If you have one that will make the three of us in the room here go, wow, dude, that's big time. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Yeah, I mean, most of us just, either you're doing it remote, maybe you're getting together, you're sneaking it in the midst of, but then there's some of you that just go crazy, right? It's just like some guys do golf trips and like, oh, we had a golf trip. And then there's like, oh, yeah, we have our 10-person Ryder Cup. We fly over to, or we're going to Bandon Dunes in Oregon, and like everybody's got to be in uniform, all three. I mean, like, dude, like men, we're crazy. We lose our minds for this stuff. Women are just like, let's go to wine country. That'll be fun. You know, let's go to South Beach and sit on the beach. No, we have thousands of dollars on the line. Last year's Ryder Cup team versus our Ryder Cup team. Like, this is our grudge match. Maybe we're flying men know no boundaries when it comes to the stuff that we love. The fantasy stuff, the golf trip, whatever that is. 404-726-0929. Let's talk about the Braves. You're rooting for a horrendous baseball team, and they're horrendous because they have the players, right? So, I don't really put any blame. It's impossible. That's like if I'm coaching my kids soccer, which has never happened, but if I'm going to my kids soccer and there's five leagues and he's on the fourth team or the third team and they're playing the first team, some elite team, and they lose 7-0, what am I going to come back in the car and be like, your coach is a bum? No, they have way more players. You are playing up. It feels like the Braves are playing up right now. I mean, they certainly were against the Brewers. You play the best record in the major leagues. Now, last night should not have been the case, Bo, because Spencer Strider was pitching. So you thought maybe we even it up a little bit with a legitimate frontline starter. We haven't been throwing frontline starters, right?
Not at all.
We are like the definition of piecemealing it together. But last night you had Spencer Strider. He struggles, gives up 11 hits. He gets swept by the Brewers. And here he is. It's always like some emotion going on with him. He says 11 hits is not necessarily about him.
I think it shows they're a really good baseball team, number one. But, I don't know that tonight is indicative of anything specific to my injury. I would say that, they are a really good team and hit a lot of executed pitches and, seem to have a really good plan at the plate. And they did, all series, I'd say. So, yeah, I think tonight was more about them than
if
me.
You heard him 6 weeks ago, I'm terrible. I haven't done my job. I have to be better. I'm disgusted. Sounds like somebody has said to him, that doesn't make you a better pitcher. It makes you a worse pitcher. Now he's trying to say, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. I hit my selection of pitches were where I wanted. They're just a really good team. There's no question he's been coached on how to talk to himself, because that doesn't sound like the same Spencer Strider. He also says, I'm okay. No season is ever going to be perfect.
Well, I don't expect any season to be a smooth road. I don't think I've expected that, or anyone in here has expected that any season. I mean, I would be shocked if anybody anywhere in baseball or sport thinks that it's going to be a smooth road.
Again, not beating himself up. Calm. But internally, he knows what he was 2 years ago. The best pitcher on one of the best teams in baseball, and now he is not even able to stop this losing skid that continues as the Brewers, with the best road team in baseball, the best record in baseball, roll through here and pretty much slap us around pretty good. Is sales down, safe to say, Bo? You starting to feel it a little bit, less energy, less crowd?
So I'll just say that the attendance through the gates has been about half of what ticket sales have actually been. So, I mean, you sell the tickets back in April.
Yeah. So, is it safe to say your frontline guys, he works in the Truist, that the frontline guys are giving their tickets away. You're seeing new people.
Lots of new faces. There are lots of new faces.
Yeah. Right. And I think that'll be the case this weekend as well with Florida coming in, right?
Got the Marlins, yeah, coming in town. So they are, let's see, I think they're probably ahead of us in the NL East by, you know.
Probably a lot, dude.
Yeah.
No, dude, they're two games under 500. Yeah. We're like 18 or 19. I don't know what we are. We're like 18 or 19 under. So, it is. Listen, nothing lasts forever. And the Braves have had an incredible run. Truist Park has been packed. The Battery has been packed. The team has been in the postseason. The team wins a World Series. Like, you know, as I've told every executive I've ever met in this town, enjoy it. It is not going to last, whether it's really good or really bad. And I will say the Falcons stretch of bad is surprising because nothing normally goes this long. Not in the National Football League with seven consecutive seasons out of the playoffs and out of the mix and everything else. Just like in baseball, unless you're the Dodgers and you outspend everybody all the time. Although Brian Cashman, the Yankees, you know, they're in the playoffs every year. They you talk about a team that's struggling. You want to talk about the New York Post, a field day on the Yankees? Have you heard Zeno at all? Dude, he's such a Yankee guy, just killing his – we're a horrible baseball team. Well, dude, you were in first place up, but we're a horrible baseball team. I mean, there's no wiggle room there. And the Yankees haven't missed the playoffs in years. But, again, for the Braves, it is a reality. They were a bad baseball team before all the injuries. They are a bad baseball team after the injuries. They are barely able to field a lineup that looks like it could compete. It's not better than the Rockies or the A's or the White Sox or all these bad teams. That's just who we are. What does it mean next year if you have Chris Sale and Spencer Strider and Spencer Schwellenbach and Ronaldo Lopez and Grant Holmes hopefully coming back or A.J. Smith? I don't know. You know, the lineup's what you got to play with, but there's no help coming. Those are your guys, and hopefully they're back next year. But trying to survive this season, that's all you're trying to do, survive, right? I have a buddy who told me, 8 days ago, I'm betting against the Braves every single game the rest of the year. I was like, bro, they're 15 games under 500. I mean, you know, if they end the year 10 games under 500 or 12 games, you're gonna lose that bet because they're going to be underdogs in every game. Well, since he told me that, I think he's 7-1. I don't know, man. Vegas never makes the Braves a huge underdog. I don't think they're looking at our lineup. I don't think, you know, if Nick Allen's your power hitter, I think they're not looking at the lineup. Just playing. We'll come back. We'll belly up. We'll play three strikes. Pat McAfee has no fear. I've never met anybody in media with less fear than Pat McAfee. I'll explain when we come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro hanging out. Caleb, Bo, helping out as well. We still got the Sunday Night Bo extravaganza happening. What's your schedule?
So we're moving into middle school softball right now, so I'm not working any more Sunday nights. We're slotting in fantasy very soon.
Middle school
softball. Yeah, man, we've already started. Our first games are Sunday.
So you coach for the school?
So in Gwinnett County, it's more of a feeder system. So we play for all the schools that all the girls that are on my team feed into one high school. Mm-hmm. Each individual middle school doesn't have their own team.
What?
So I coach one of the Norcross middle school softball.
What's the high school we feed into?
Norcross High School.
Huh. Sunday night games?
Sunday afternoon. Yeah, we play at 4:15 and 5:30. So Sunday evening.
Damn, bro.
At Norcross High School, though, this is the first time these girls are getting to play on an actual big, nice field. So it's going to be fun. Come on, see us.
You're going to miss some games, though, bro. Some Sunday night games. I know. My daughters are gone. Appreciate all the moments. My wife drove 8.5 hours back from New Orleans yesterday. I don't think she was going to leave. I was like, you dropped her off 6 days ago. Did you meet a guy at a po' boy shop and you just moved to New Orleans? I mean, like, just let me know what's up. I just assumed that we had dual residency. We dropped Nola at school on Friday. We spent the weekend. She couldn't move until Sunday. But I was asking, are you going to come home? Because you've just literally spent the week there in New Orleans. And I was like, I know that, you know, those are your Louisiana roots, you know, not some ball guy from some Yankee from Boston. But I was like, she's like, yeah, I'm coming home now.
She doesn't get back too often, does she? I mean, she's from there.
Yeah,
so
she's from Lafayette.
Every time I get down there anywhere, I want to stay as long as possible.
I think she realized what
she's
she was.
She's different.
I think she realized what she was missing. She was in Baton Rouge. She's doing business in Baton Rouge. And then she's in New Orleans. And then she's like, I got to go home to that guy. And I have no buffer. So we have no buffer now. Well, we have Bobby. Bobby's the buffer. I told Bobby, dude, you got to get ready because your mom, you know, you had distraction. You had the older girls. You have nothing now. She's going to be on you like white on rice. Like, he's like, Daddy, she keeps texting me. It's out of control, like nonstop. I was like, bro, the girls are gone. Just get ready, brother.
I was just like Bobby when I was growing up because my sister is 6 years older than me. And so we were a team as the buffer between our parents. And then she moved out, went to college, and it was just me. So anytime, parents needed something.
Yeah, all the focus, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and like my mom's love language is like doing things, you know, acts of service, which is nice, but then it reaches a point where you're just like,
I can
do it myself.
You. Oh, okay. She's taking care of you. No, like with my girls, there was always something. Like, I got Nola's dance and I got her costumes and I got help Sophie with this. It's like, you know, so she's on them. And now they're gone. I say, Bobby, dude, you better take a deep breath. You got no diversions. It's just, you know, I can't help you, bro. Like when he'll look at me when she's on him for something, he gives me that look and I'll just shrug my shoulders. Bro, I can't help you, man. I'm going to play pickleball. You just fight the good fight. Nothing I can do. But at least she gave him a few extra days. I said, listen, she's coming home tonight, 8.5 hours, and it's on. From this minute on, just, you know. I saw a text he communicated to Sophie and Nola. It just said the word help. That was the text. I hope she's not listening. Right? It's like, help, come back. This is what moms do. That's what, you know, moms are on top of it, right? Like, she's like, somebody throw me something. You know, Caleb, like, you know.
His room will never be cleaner, right?
No, he's on. All right, I'll give you the three strikes questions, and then we're going to do a little belly up action here. First question is a billionaire you'd like to dine at Hal's with. I'm taking you to dinner. I'm not taking you. He's taking you. Or she. Friday night, dinner at Hal's with any billionaire. Who do you want to dine with? I'm going to give you alive or – should we give him alive or dead or not? Or just has to be alive? Billionaire – no, any billionaire you'd like to dine at Hal's with. It's Friday night coming up. The time in your life you cared about your college team the most. Think about the college team you root for. When were you most passionate about them? And favorite type of French fry. The favorite type of French fry. It could be the waffle, could be the crinkle, could be the thin, could be the steak fry, could be any combination. If you give me the place, too. You got a favorite potato French fry?
Yeah, I think I do.
What do you got?
I think it's going to be Zaxby's crinkle.
The Zaxby's crinkle.
With the seasoning? Oh, yeah.
You got one, Caleb?
So for me, it's the Popeyes. I like that, like.
Oh, boy, the spicy.
Yeah, the kind of battered.
Okay. I like the Shake Shack crinkle cut a lot. If you're really in the right mind frame, the Waffle House Chick-fil-A is strong. Houston's got these thin fries. There's a lot there. Favorite type of French fry? The college program you loved, how old were you when you cared the most? And the billionaire you want to have dinner at Hal's with, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Let's belly up. You know, we have a mindset, a theory, that the older a guest is, the less they care about being politically correct, and they'll just say it. And Jerry Jones is kind of like this with the media now. He is just real happy to F with Micah Parsons. He's happy to not give you great fodder. It's like, dude, I've been through everything in the world. You think I care about one of my players? I've dealt with the Jimmy Johnson, dealt with Barry Switzer, I dealt with surviving the team, I dealt with personalities like Michael Irvin, the White House, the absolute bedlam around my team. Like, you think this phases me? Listen to the question and listen and basically tell Micah Parsons you're not living up to what you agreed to.
Let's talk about the negotiations real quick. It's my understanding nothing was put in writing. So how would you describe a deal getting, so to speak, done and then walked away from?
I bought the Dallas Cowboys with a handshake. Took about 30 seconds, and I gave the number, shook hands. The details we worked out later. As a matter of fact, one of the details involved a lot of money, and we had to flip a coin over that. But the fundamental, I'm buying, and you're going to sell it to me for that range, that's done. And those are done with eye contact and handshake.
So is there...
So just so you understand why I, the way that I communicate with people that I negotiate with. So but let's leave it at that. There is no question that in the case of a player contract, you have to have it in writing. All parties do. We have a contract in writing, yet we're still talking about renegotiating it. So much for that.
Wow. What's going on there, Bo? What's he trying?
Can't figure this one out to save. I think he just doesn't like being told that he has to renegotiate or he has to pay a player.
He's like, you have a contract, live up to it, or we already agreed to something, and now you're not living up to what you agreed to because we looked each other in the eye. But he's throwing shade on top of shade. It sounds like to me, Caleb.
Yeah, it's also one where, like, if Micah Parsons is having a meeting with Jerry Jones, there's going to be some. Like, he's a billionaire, so you're going to talk to him a certain respectful way that when it comes to negotiating, you're not going to do. Like, he has an agent for a reason.
To handle that.
Yeah, it's weird to do this whole, like, it's not 1950 anymore, Jerry. This handshake type of deal thing. No.
I pay you. That's
would it surprise you at all if 6 months to a year ago, Jerry and Micah, like, at a practice, talked about it something and shook on it or did a verbal agreement, now he wants to stick to that? And then somebody else got paid, so now Michael wants that money, but Jerry's like, no, man, we agreed on this. That has to be something.
I just think he's so agitated that he didn't see the Micah Parsons trade thing coming, that he thought it was under control, and now you're pushing a guy up against the wall that's not intimidated for 1 second. He doesn't care about alienating. He's had the worst thing said about him by his fans in the last 25 years. He's not fazed by any of it. So, yeah, I mean, I think everything you guys said comes into play. Hey, one of the most interesting teams this year will be the New England Patriots. People can't figure out why they're saying they could be in the playoffs. They were 3-14. They did have a ridiculously successful offseason acquiring talent and getting a new coach and signing players, but who knows? They do know that Mike Vrabel is very different from Gerard Mayo. How do we know? Because his head is all cut up. He jumped in the middle of a fight at practice yesterday. Let's just say Patriots players enjoyed it.
Yeah, I said, Coach, what's wrong with you, man? He said, hey, you should see the other guy. So, you know, I laughed at that for sure. Man, that shows a lot, man, about our coach, man. He'll do anything for us, and that's love right there.
Yeah, I mean, he's right there with us, man. I think that player comes out in him a little bit, too. But you got to love a coach that loves to compete, has those competitive juices just like us.
Jumps in the middle of the fray, ends up bloodied. Had like an ice pack on his face during his press conference, whatever it is. All right.
Is he the head coach that you would least want to fight out of the NFL? Because I feel like he is.
That's a great question. Tomlin's tough, but he's younger, way younger than Tomlin, right? Dan Campbell, I think him and Campbell's got size on him, right? Let me just think. But, yeah, Vrabel still want. I mean, even if you hear him, like, stuff he does, he still thinks he's playing in a lot of ways. But, boy, they're not. That Gerard Mayo was not given much of a shot there with that roster, and he's gone, and Mike Vrabel's now the king. We'll see how the Patriots season plays out. Hey, the big news yesterday, of course, was the NFL and Red Zone, but don't go to sleep on the WWE signing with ESPN. How surprised were you, Bo, to ESPN to just say, it's a sport, we want it, it's entertainment, whatever it is. They sign a major deal. Now, it won't mean WrestleMania. Peacock still has their deal done, right?
Peacock's over at the end of 2025. So we all thought, and it was actually said, that when Netflix picked up Monday Night Raw, we thought that all of the PLEs or premium live events were going to move over to Netflix. So now Peacock ends the end of 2025. ESPN's going to immediately pick it up. That is going to include every PLE, including the two-night PLEs,
both of
WrestleMania
them.
And SummerSlam.
Damn. Give you some idea of how this thing played out. ESPN now is going to fully embrace the sports entertainment world. WWE will now firmly establish itself in sports and entertainment, both end of it. Cody Rhodes was all over the place last night. By the way, ESPN places $320 million a year is much higher than they offered Major League Baseball. Supposedly they offered baseball $200 million. They offered the WWE $320 million, which tells you that they value the audience, the opportunity, and the everything that goes along with the WWE was on a roll, as opposed to Major League Baseball, who has a ugly divorce. We still don't know where you're going to be watching baseball games next year, but Major League Baseball is certainly a slap in the face there. So, ESPN, two huge moves yesterday. All right, let's have some fun and do some three strikes. Hey, Mikey, we're going to Hal's Friday night. Who's the billionaire you're dining with?
Well, he says he's a billionaire, and I'd say Donald Trump.
The college team you love, when did you love him the most? What age?
I graduated from Georgia Southern in 1987, so we had a hell of a run there for 3 or 4 years.
So let's say the late 80s with Georgia Southern, right?
Yep.
Favorite type of French fry?
Have you ever had the varsity fries?
Been a long time, man. What are they doing? They're thin, they're thicker, what are they?
You know how they put them through the chopper that you put on the wall, and they're square and long?
All right. The varsity Those gets a shout out. Bob in Dallas, Georgia, yep. The billionaire Friday night you're having dinner with at Hal's.
Andrew Carnegie.
The college team you love when you loved them the most. What? How old were
well,
you?
Well, I went to Mizzou. I'm 73, and I went to Mizzou.
So what year did you love Mizzou the most? When you were there in the 70s?
I had a heyday down here when they came down into the SEC and beat the shit out of Charger for.
Or did we lose him? All right. He's using bad language. He just. He said they.
That'll get you dropped immediately.
They came and they beat the blank out of Georgia. All right, Tony in Decatur. Tony, who are you having dinner with Friday night at Hal's? What billionaire?
LeBron James. I really do. Rihanna, she's going to wear that dress at the Cannes Festival.
The college team you love the most, when were you loving? When was your love the highest? How old were you?
Yeah, I've loved the Georgia Bulldogs ever since Herschel Walker plowed Billy Bates from Tennessee.
So early 80s. Favorite type of French fry?
Oh, that's easy. Chick-fil-A. I love the waffle fry. That's easy. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. I love how guys like that's easy. It's like not even – that's not – he didn't even have to think about that, right? It's a lot of good fries out there.
Also a solid fry. There are a lot of great fries.
No, there's a lot of great
fries.
There are. McDonald's is like you get a BB+, but you're – you know, it's just – it's a little cliched. I don't
but
know.
They're still very, very tasty.
There's nothing more difficult. I go to Chick-fil-A. I get Bobby, the lunch deal, and I'm trying to just do one waffle fry, do one, and get home. Get home. Hold off. Nah. Next thing you know, I hand the kid the bag, and he's like, "Dad, there's like four waffle fries." Damn it!
Dangerous business.
No discipline, steak. Bad steak. Bad steak. That's why I should just get two waffle fries and stop pretending, right? All right, guys. Thanks for your help. Caleb, Bo, Mike Johnson. Back tomorrow with Drew. Thanks for making the steakhouse part of your day.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.